This is Science Friday from NPR News, and I'm Paul Rayburn. Ira Flatow will be back next week. It's difficult to work as a doctor or a nurse these days without being chained to a cell phone. That's true for us in radio, too, and for many of you. But imagine this. Suppose doctors and hospitals could use their cell phones to diagnose disease. Suppose they could use their cell phone cameras as microscopes to scan a patient's saliva for tuberculosis, or to search blood for malarial parasites, and to do all of this in a remote location without laboratories or even electricity. Researchers have now made a simple gadget that will let them do all of that and more. The CellScope is a simple cell phone attachment that turns a cell phone camera into an inexpensive but powerful fluorescent microscope. Its inventors think it might be a game changer for practicing medicine in developing countries, where tuberculosis and malaria, among other things, can be huge problems, and where the nearest hospital could be hundreds of miles away. A paper describing the CellScope is in the journal PLOS ONE this week. So give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet us your questions by writing the @ followed by SciFry. If you want more information about what we're going to be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you will find links to our topic. My guest is one of the CellScope's inventors. Daniel Fletcher is an associate professor in the Department of Bioengineering at the University of California, Berkeley. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Fletcher.
Thank you very much.
So this sounds a little bit incredible. What exactly is this gadget, and how are you able to do so many magical things so inexpensively?
Well, actually, it's quite a simple gadget. It started off as a project in an undergraduate optics class. And the challenge was to imagine that you're in a remote village, and you have your camera phone with you, and there's some sort of disease outbreak, and you happen to have a backpack full of optics. What would you build in order to magnify a sample, like a blood sample, onto your phone so that you could transmit it to someone else to help you understand it? And so over the course of a semester, we've looked at different ideas for how to put this kind of device together, and it ended up being a rather simple combination of two well-developed fields, microscopy and cell phone electronics. And so that's after that course, we put together the first demo, and the rest has been a great deal of fun.
Now you're saying we. Who worked with you on this project?
So this was a combination of undergraduate students and graduate students and a couple postdocs. And it started out with the design process, but then we ended up getting help from a number of different students, both in my lab and in other labs, that contributed advice and ideas for how to mount the sample, how to mount the rest of the microscopy attachment. And we ended up with a rather simple device that will clip onto a phone and allow you to take pictures of very small things.
It's amazing it's a student project. You're not worried that they're going to drop out of school and take this thing and go get rich, are you?
Well, quite possibly. But I think more importantly, it shows that with relatively simple tools and by identifying a specific problem, it doesn't take a great deal of research to develop a solution that might be useful. Yep. And so hopefully it was inspirational for the students.
Now, what would this thing cost? Do you know that yet?
I think academics are particularly bad at thinking about costs, but it's certainly going to cost a lot less than the rest of the fluorescent microscopes in my lab.
You're going to have to think about costs in California with the budget troubles you're having out there, I'm afraid to tell you.
Well, maybe this is a solution.
Subject of another show. So tell us a little bit, how does this work? How do you use a microscope to diagnose tuberculosis or malaria?
Well, in fact, tuberculosis was discovered with a microscope back in 1882 by Robert Koch. And it was by examining the sputum from patients who were sick and identifying that there was a microorganism there. And since that time, being able to see the microorganism has been the gold standard for knowing that the bacterium is there. Typically what's done is a stain is used to identify that the bacterium is there, a Ziehl-Neelsen stain. But more recently, there have been developed some fluorescent stains. And these are stains that will bind to the bacterium. And then when you illuminate them with a certain color light, they will emit a different color light. And so that allows you to identify the bacterium apart from the background and makes it easier to pick them out from a sample.
So you're going to have a field full of bacteria, but this lets you pick out the tuberculosis.
Hopefully you don't have too many bacteria, but you'll be able to identify them from the other material that's in the sample. That's right.
Now, what about malaria?
Malaria is a similar process where you would do a stain in order to label the specific parasite that's in the red blood cell. And then again, you would use high magnification microscopy to identify that it's there. And both of these techniques require that you look over many different fields of view. It's not a matter of just looking at one part of a sample, but looking at many different spots on a sample. And one of the things that cell phones and electronic imaging have as advantages is that as the number of pixels increase in cameras, especially cameras on phones, the size of the region that you're able to look at in one shot is essentially larger. So that means you can reduce the time it takes to find the bacteria by using some of the more advanced imaging capabilities that cell phones now have.
Now, would this have any value in the developed world where we have fancy microscopes and things already?
Well, we certainly have been thinking about that. The initial goal, of course, was the global health challenges, but it became clear that that microscopy is useful in many clinical diagnoses. At the small scale, many times cancer patients need to have a complete blood count, and that often requires a trip to the doctor's office, drawing blood, waiting for the lab to count the number of white cells, red cells, and platelets. But the old style for counting those before there were new equipment like flow cytometers was simply to take a specific volume and count under the microscope. And so with that same approach, by taking a small amount of blood, knowing the volume, being able to label and count the cells, it may be possible to do that sort of analysis at home.
So where do you go next with this thing? Do you have another project lined up for next semester students?
Great question. Perhaps I can get them to design another attachment that will take X-rays. But we'll probably stick with optics, and I think what we really need to do now is field tests. The device that we have currently is a great proof of principle, and it shows that you don't need a fancy camera in order to take these fluorescence images. But what we don't know is how it will hold up in the field and whether this will actually be a way to improve health. And so I think field testing is where we go next.
Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank my guest, Daniel Fletcher. He's an associate professor in the Department of Bioengineering at the University of California, Berkeley. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.